Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
He's Danny, I'm Grant. This is The Fan. 325, the Nats called up one of their top young players. They just got back in the Juan Soto deal last night, made his debut at Nats Park. We'll discuss the good and the bad. Patrick Corbin back on the hill this evening after he got a start skipped, was pushed back a few days. Might he have found some answers to his issues? He's been unable to get out of the first inning in two of his last three starts. That's coming up at 325. We got our double play at 345. But right now, as we welcome in our Richmond audience on 910 AM, 105.1 FM in the capital of Virginia. Everyone else been listening all over D.C. on 106.7 The Fan. We go to the BetQL guest hotline. Bet smarter to beat the books. Download the BetQL app today. Visit BetQL.com. Our buddy Logan Paulson joins us to discuss preseason game number one against the Carolina Panthers. Logan, how are you, man?
I'm great, dude. You know, every time you talk about baseball, I always get nervous. You're going to ask me like a random baseball question, and I have no file on baseball at the moment.
How little file do you have on baseball?
Oh, very little file. Like, you know,
how many outs are in a game? How many outs do you have to get to complete a game?
I got that kind of file. Yeah, we got three outs, you know, whatever, three strikes, all that kind of stuff. But, like, you know, I just found out that dude just got traded from the team and multi-million dollar contracts. And I was like, man, baseball's crazy. So that was the dude. Talk around the park today. So,
so do you know who that dude was?
Who's that dude?
I don't know who that dude was. I think he's hitting well. He hits the ball well. Is that a thing he does?
So I'm going to give you four names. I want you to tell me which one got traded to the Padres. You ready?
Okay, here we go. Yep.
Trey Turner.
Okay.
Albert Bellinger.
Okay.
Josh Bell or Juan Soto?
Juan Soto.
That's a trick question. Two of those guys got traded to the Padres.
Oh, dang, bro. Yeah. Dang, all right.
Tough break.
Albert Bellinger's the other one.
It's a tough deal there, you know, stacking the deck against me. That's not what friends do, guys.
That shouldn't have been what a friend does. I actually think that's a lot of fun. Sometime we should have you on and quiz you on the Nats. just get your breakdown on, like, Paolo Espino's repertoire. But let's move along here and talk about a subject that you can break down, and that is the Commanders. So what did you make of what you saw on Saturday?
Yeah, I think, you know, I kind of treat the preseasons like kind of just a tick up from practice, you know, like the Saturday practice at the stadium a couple weeks ago. Preseason football is just a tick up from that. So, you know, obviously there's going to be some issues. There's going to be some mistakes. I think offensively they came out and did well, you know, and I think everyone says, oh, they went three and out. I don't hate the process on the first three downs of football there. I like the shot there to Armani Rogers. I like the confidence the staff has in that young man. I think it's deserved. I think, Carson Wentz ball placement, you know, could have been a little bit better, but we're splitting hairs at that point. Obviously, the fumble is something you don't want to see, but outside the fumble, I think the offense functioned pretty well. You know, I think you feel pretty good about, you know, saying this is like glorified practice. Everyone seems to be executing a nice level. The offensive line played really well. The young tight ends did a great job. Carson Wentz, I thought, had an excellent throw to Terry McLaurin on that kind of 10-yard stop route on the far hash, which was that's a thing of beauty. And then Terry with the great finish. Love that. Brian Robinson comes out, provides a spark, keeps you on schedule. I think you see the fan base can see the importance of having a runner that just keeps you on schedule from a down and distance standpoint. And then obviously the defense, I think there's more stuff to kind of pick at there. I think when you look at the front six, you say, wow, those guys played really nice. Cam Curl, you can throw in there. So front seven did a nice job, disruptive, physical. Jamin is looking like something special here. Not special. He's looking like a starting NFL linebacker. And he's playing with a lot of confidence. And he's playing physically. And all those things that were big question marks for me. And I know it's one game, but I like to see that. Cole started slow but got better as the day went on. I think in the back end you saw some good chemistry. You saw guys, how that group has grown, but you also saw some of its limitations. Obviously, there was that first coverage bust on the third down. Danny Johnson playing bad leverage, gets beat on the out route. But I think outside of those two plays, I think you say there's good things to build on. There's exciting things about this team moving into preseason week two. And obviously, you want to see development and growth going into this week, but lots of things to kind of say, hey, this is heading in the right direction.
Logan, you mentioned Gibson. I want to start there. I just don't see it with him. The intrigue of a guy that was a wide receiver at one point, converted to running back, I thought I was getting, you know, shifty, make you miss, leaving guys in his wake, Barry Sanders style, you know, a dude that you wouldn't get wet in the shower. I feel like he's missing holes, the fumbling problems. I just think right now Robinson's probably a better fit for this offense. Talk me off the ledge or tell me I'm right. Just give me your thoughts there.
Yeah, I think that's a really good question. I think the thing Gibson gives you is he gives you a running style that's more akin to like Derrick Henry, I think, than kind of that Barry Sanders elusiveness. I think body type-wise, he's probably more similar to Derrick Henry. He's 235 when he's a little overweight. He's 230 when he's in shape. It's a big fella. He runs a 4.3, you know, and I think it's a more of a long speed. Obviously, he is elusive. He's more of a space player. But he's a guy that when you get him a crease, he does some damage. And I think for him, obviously, the nuance of playing the running back position resides in how to set up blocks, how's the running back's vision, all those things. And those things are still very green for him. He's shown strides during practice, shown strides during OTAs. Looked a little bit nervous, in my estimation, in the game. And I think that's, part of the reason why he looked a little bit less than average. You'd like to see him come out next week and be a little bit more productive. But I think, you know, Brian Robinson, like this is who he is, who we thought he was coming out of college. Like he, in terms of evaluation straight to the NFL, of all the guys they drafted, he was the easiest guy. Great vision, physical running style, great footwork, all those things that are maybe not, they don't lead to the sexiest running back, but they lead to a very, very good running back, solid running back, great pass protector, a guy that's going to make this football team better. And that's why you like to pick in the third round. So you like where you're at with the backs. I do think Brian Robinson is making a strong case for himself to get more touches. And, that's going to be at the expense of Antonio Gibson. And that's not just from the game. That's from training camp as well.
Logan, the fumble is really what I care about most. He led the league in fumbles last year. And then Gibson, on his second carry of the day, put the ball on the ground again. And you just can't have that. I mean, it was funny because after the game, being in on Rivera's presser downstairs, he basically seemed more upset with the style of running, which I didn't even agree with, because he mentioned like he was too patient on the first carry, there were two guys pulling in front of him, and if he would have just run 100 miles an hour, he would have run right past him or run into the back of him. So I actually thought the patience on the fumble was not a problem, to be honest with you. But Rivera disagreed, and he was really, really happy with how he ran after that, where he just got the ball and ran into the wall in front of him, even though he averaged like a half yard a carry the rest of the day or whatever it was. So I found that entire evaluation of his performance weird, to be honest. You could have a comment on that if you agree with him. Having said that, though, the fumble. What's your experience with guys who have fumbling problems, and how do they fix that?
Yeah, so let's start with the Ron comments. I think post-game, it's always a tough time for a coach. I think because you're just coming off kind of your knee-jerk reaction. You've watched games from the sideline before, both you guys. You know how hard it is to see like running lanes, how to see passing lanes, how to see protection, really. It's tough to see. So when you come to the sideline and you get that still picture, that's kind of how you're making your evaluation. And there's been many a game where I've come off as a player and told the coach, hey, this is what I saw. The picture doesn't necessarily reflect that. Then we get to film the next day and he says, oh, you know, you were right on the field. I gave you bad advice. And so I think that's also part of it. Like you're seeing something from the sideline that I know they've been harping on with him in terms of being more decisive, being more aggressive as a runner. He's done that during training camp. It does make him a more effective runner, because one of the things that he struggles with is kind of hitting the hole, right? Like, you know, he sets the run up. He's got to be decisive to the hole. That's what Brian Robinson does well. So I think that's more of a kind of the atmosphere of when you're getting the feedback from coach. I'm sure that feedback would look very, very different today even. You know, and then you mentioned the fumble. Like, the fumbling's tough, man. Fumbling's a tough thing because you have to make it your reaction to, you know, not get loose with the football, but hold it tighter to your chest when you're in traffic. And like Danny pointed out, he's a space player. He wants to hold the football, carry the football in space. It's a different animal when you're around people. Like I tell people this all the time, I'm so thankful I came in the league when I did and played with the defense that I did, you know, LaRon Landry, London Fletcher, guys that were very, very aggressive at attacking the football, because it bred that out of me almost immediately. You realize that in the NFL, like, people are taking shots in the football, and that thing needs to be held tight to your chest. And, you know, I think having the defense emphasize that with him is a big thing. Again, like, I think when he fumbles is an interesting time. I think as he's passing through the line of scrimmage, when he's making his cut, the ball is a little loose. That ball needs to be tight all the time when you're a running back. It's different. You know, when you're a receiver, there's opportunities to kind of hold it loose, hold it tight. With a running back, there's no wiggle room for that. It needs to be tight or bust. And I think that's something that he's gotten better with in training camp. But again, obviously, still needs to improve on that, or else he's not going to be playing a lot of football for this team in 2022.
Our guest is world-famous television star Logan Paulson, joining us here on G&D, breaking down the Commanders preseason game. All over my TV set, Logan, and I love it. Let's get to the defense that you touched on, man. They didn't do a lot this offseason, and this was a group that underachieved in 2021, coming off the hype and excitement of 2020. Those third down issues, man, it just kind of looked similar with that first-team group. Tell us what you saw, and why should we feel better about it?
Yeah, so I think there's a couple things there. Like, there's a trend in the NFL, a defensive philosophical trend of kind of playing these softer coverage shells. I'm not saying that's what they're doing, but that's the way teams are going. You look at the best defenses in the NFL right now. Currently, it's like Buffalo, L.A., you know, kind of Green Bay, these teams that have a higher emphasis towards coverage philosophy. So teams move the ball on them, but basically what they're saying to you is that you can't move the ball, you know, for 15 plays. You're going to fumble a snap. You're going to have a false start. All those things are going to happen, and you're going to make a mistake, and we're going to be able to capitalize in those situations. And I think that's kind of what they're leaning towards. I think that's a wise football choice from Dak Del Rio. I will say, obviously, on the first third down, that was a mental mistake, a miscommunication. You know, this is one of the reasons you play preseason games, right, is to get a different look, get that crossing mesh concept out of a different formation, see it with different eyes, how different teams run it. And that's part of the thing. Like, they just didn't get it communicated. They didn't get it passed off. It leads to a big play. The next play is Danny Johnson. I think he's playing with bad leverage. And I think when you look at Danny Johnson, like, he's had a great camp, but he's not been Benjamin St. Juste. And Benjamin St. Juste right now is you know, probably one of the better cover players on the Commanders roster. And so having him out there, I think, makes a difference in that situation. And that's not a criticism of Danny. I think he's done a great job in training camp, had an excellent interception today. But, you know, I think there's a reason Benjamin St. Juste is ahead of him, and it's because he probably makes that play, is what I'm saying. Both of those things are important to understand for fans. I also think, you know, there was a couple missed run fits earlier in the game that could have prevented gains on second down that put them in those third and short situations. So I think when you kind of take a step back, there was a whole bunch of little things that contributed to their kind of, you know, maybe perceived lackluster performance. But I think there was a lot of elements of that performance that make you feel good about where that group's at. And I trust that the coaching staff is going to get those other issues cleaned up.
Logan, it seems like you are feeling really good about where Jamin Davis is at. You mentioned that you see a starting linebacker now. What did you like so much on Saturday?
I just saw a guy who was decisive to the football. You know, everyone talks about this tremendous athlete. I've talked about him. When you watch his college tape, you see a guy who's very unique in terms of skill set. You know, he's 6'3", he's 240. He runs a 4.4. He's got a 42-inch vertical, and he's long-armed, and he's what you want at the position. And last year, you just saw a guy who was playing a little bit unsure and a little bit tentative. And then that was not the guy I saw on Saturday. And that's what I needed to see from him. I needed to see a confidence, an aggression, a violence. Like, I talked to Ron about him, and Ron said, oh, he only made some mistakes. But the thing you love about it is he is flying to the football. He's got a confidence about him. He's being decisive. And those are all things I needed to see, and he did that. So, again, I want to see him grow. I want to see him mature. Today, you know, they had a padded practice, and he had an excellent probably three-play sequence where, you know, he covers the back on a wheel, he makes a tackle in the hole, like, for a tackle for loss, and then he's running the football and gets an interception, three consecutive plays. So I think that he's getting more confident, and I like that idea. I like the notion of a confident Jamin Davis. Because, you know, one of the big elements in terms of this defense improving, and one of the elements that Danny mentioned of them not bringing in other pieces this offseason, is because they were counting on his development, and he appears to be doing that. Obviously, it's one game. I don't make any kind of conclusions off of one game, but I like that trend from him. including the data that we have from training camp. So, again, big eyes on him for preseason week two, but I like where we're at right now with him.
Give me somebody that we're missing that you thought stood out. You mentioned Jamin Davis. Not much in the box score there, but obviously you're watching the tape and we're not. Give me somebody that we haven't talked about that you were impressed with.
I mean, there's so many guys that are doing a nice job. I mean, Casey Tuhill has done a great job in terms of developing himself as a pass rusher. Looks like a dynamic athlete. You know, he's one of the most explosive dudes on the team from a vertical 40 time, and now you're starting to see that skill set starting to manifest itself, which is really fantastic. Daniel Wise had a couple pressures. Again, not always doing exactly what he's supposed to do, but a guy who makes plays and is explosive and plays with great energy. Love that. I think everyone's aware of Phil, Big Phil. He had a very nice first outing, and I love the energy that he plays with, the passion that he plays with. Love seeing that kind of emotional guy out there. Chris Paul, the seventh-round pick out of Tulsa. I mean, he looked like a freaking dude out there. Physical, strong, aggressive athlete. And I love seeing that from offensive linemen, especially when taken in the seventh round. You take him there because of the athletic upside, and you're starting to see flashes of that. And then I got a guy with my tight ends, Armani Rogers and Curtis Hodges. You know, Armani was a guy who wasn't supposed to make the team, and now he's working with the ones and showing like it's not too big for him. So that fourth tight end spot is going to be a really interesting battle for them. So many different guys, but those are some guys that stuck out to me.
Sam Howell might be low-hanging fruit because it's pretty obvious when a quarterback rushes for two touchdowns, they're going to get a lot of run. But he has been one of the bigger takeaways, I think, of the fan base, and everyone's very, very high and optimistic about him. So if you would, give us a thought on his performance, but also if there's some cold water, too, that you think's necessary, that's okay as well. But where are you at on Sam Howell?
Yeah, so, you know, obviously it's great when you see a guy come out and just be a football-playing Johnny. You know, comes out, good arm, good confidence, kind of good moxie. And so I'm really happy for him that he performed well, you know. But I do think it's important for fans to understand, like, of the preseason quarterbacks that played, he had one of the longest times to throw of any quarterback. Usually that is something that doesn't translate as you move up the depth chart. He also had probably three or four turnover-worthy plays where he's not being very fastidious with the football, putting it in harm's way. And again, I think some of those plays against better competition become turnovers. Again, I'm not trying to say he's a bad football player. There's not anything to be excited there, because I do think there's things to be excited about, but I do think everyone needs to take a breath and kind of say, you know, he did a good job, but these are some things he can improve on. Ball security, time to throw, processing speed. Because unfortunately, like, well, he looked like a tremendous athlete. I don't think that translates as well when you go against guys like Montez Sweat and Chase Young. I don't think they don't suffer that kind of movement in the pocket very well. So I think that's important for fans to kind of keep in context. But, yeah, I'm happy for him. Did a good job. Again, those are some areas that I think he needs to improve on.
Logan, I was bummed we didn't get much of Jahan Dotson in this first week. I still think the dude can play. But what you see from him and maybe kind of the way they're going to deploy, it looked like just every play it was going to be, I saw one where all three guys were on the same side, with McLaurin and Samuel and Dotson. Next one, Dotson was outside and McLaurin was inside. I like the versatility there. What you see from the rookie, and just kind of talk about the way the receivers are going to go?
Yeah, so I think Jahan's a very unique skill set. My adoration for Jahan is well documented, or Jahan is well documented at this point. I think he's a heck of a football player. I think you see times where guys can get a little physical with him. You know, he's not the biggest guy in the world. He's like 185 pounds. And I think when guys get hands on him, it disrupts him a little bit, but you see great route running nuance. You know, the play where Curtis Samuel catches the football for a first down on the left side of the formation there, he's routing a guy up and almost making him fall over. You know, so again, that skill, that route running skill, is a transferable skill. Every day in training camp, he's making plays. At some point, he will start making plays in games. You know, he was targeted one time, and the guy had to hold him really bad to make sure he didn't make a big play. So I think that's important for people to know. Curtis Samuel is a guy that I think is very, very skilled, you know, in terms of his athletic ability. Like, he is a guy where you see what that 4-3-1 looks like on tape and see what it does to defenses and see how it makes them freak out. And I'm excited to see him kind of work the slot, find those mismatches on linebackers. And then I think Terry to me has been a little bit quiet in training camp, but again, like, his production in games, the way he competes is bar none, you know, and that's one of the reasons I respect the hell out of him as a player. So again, three guys that I think are great. And then there's, you know, kind of Cam Sims, Deami Brown, guys that will contribute. Dax Millen is another guy that has done a really nice job in camp. Obviously, there was a little bit of overthrow by Taylor Heinicke on that, like kind of the naked action to the right. But I think that's a really solid group of guys, and there's playmakers throughout. And it just, it's kind of a crazy time to be a Washington football team fan or a Commanders fan, because they've got three backs. McKissick, I think, in practice every day does something special as a kind of receiving option out of the backfield. We mentioned Brian Robinson. We mentioned Gibson. And then the tight end group is just got some really, really nice young pieces there. So Scott Turner's got a lot to play with, and hopefully they can find ways to get everybody the football and find ways to protect them, you know. So,
do you think they'll game plan for the Chiefs as kind of a pre-regular season look, or with only three preseason games, do you just not have time to do that?
Yeah, I think there'll be a little bit of game plan. You know, it's been interesting talking to coaches around the building and on the staff and seeing how they view preseason. It's like, we want to treat this like a regular game plan, but we're going to hold kind of our main cards close to the vest. So we're going to get the guys' game plans. We're going to install it. We're going to get them ready to go, kind of install Kansas City's coverages, or at least what they showed from week one. And then let it go. But we're going to kind of hold our trump cards and the things we really want to be a little bit tighter. And that's interesting to me, because I've been on staffs that have done it before, and I've been on staffs that have kind of shown everything and said, this is who we are, like it or love it. We don't care if you know. And so I think all those things are interesting, but I think it'd be good. It'd be good to get everybody in a game plan, get a full, not a full game plan in, but something in, and just kind of get those guys ready to go. Again, this is one of the things, when you don't have a joint practice, these are things you need to think about. These are things you need to work on. And I think they'll do it this week against Kansas City.
Logan, you're the best, buddy. Seriously, congrats. Great job working the sidelines and being on television. It's really cool to see.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. Appreciate the support. Yeah, we'll be here without you guys. Let me say that.
Wow.
That is totally true. Totally true.
And also not
100% true.
Logan, thank you, buddy. We appreciate you. Go get some ice skating in.
Thanks, brother. Appreciate you.
All right. See
you, man.
Logan Paulson on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. C.J. Abrams made his Nats debut last night. Patrick Corbin pitches this evening. Plus, you got a reaction to anything Logan just said. We'll take that next right here on Grant and Danny on The Fan.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
The 0-1 with a runner going from first is hit on the ground up the middle, and Abrams has it to his left. Off balance throw to first. The stretch by Voit. What a play. He is out. That looked like it might sneak through like the one hit by Suzuki, but Abrams was able to stay on his feet, ranging to his left and throwing across his body on the move to his left. Made a strong throw. That's a very, very nice play by C.J. Abrams.
Dave Jagler on the call, as heard last night right here on your flagship home for Nationals baseball, 106.7 The Fan. Welcome back, Grant and Danny with you. Thanks much for making this show part of your Tuesday. Abrams last night took an 0-for-4 at the plate, but did put the ball in play three times and had exit velocities of 92, 90, and 87 miles an hour. Anything 86.7 and higher last night was considered to have been hard hit based on the ball game and just generally the velocities that they used to determine that. there are thresholds. Like over 104 is elite. Nelson Cruz's home run, as an example, was 104. Alex Call, who they brought up last night, hit a ground ball off of Brandon Hughes that was 109 off the bat, highest in the game. But Abrams, all three of the balls he put in play were hit very, very hard off the barrel. Did have a strikeout. Committed an error in the field, so it was not all good. But that play he made, ranging to his left, Danny, deep into the hole, there's not a shortstop in Washington that would have made that play this year. I mean, Luis Garcia, with all due respect, not to be mean to him, there's no chance he makes that play. He doesn't field that ball, and then he also can't make the throw to first. It's probably errant. And on top of that, I would say nobody since Trey Turner here in D.C. makes that play. So that is what you can dream on a little bit athletically from just a tools standpoint from 6'2", 21-year-old C.J. Abrams playing in his first game in D.C. last night.
Just so athletic. It just oozes off the screen, right, as you're watching this guy go about it. I mean, I remember Mike Rizzo said something pretty profound. I think it was to you and me years ago, talking about Trey Turner. And it's so hard not to start comparing these two guys, you know, when you have somebody that's that fast with, you know, kind of those kind of physical tools. But Turner is a baseball player who happens to be fast versus someone like, say, a Billy Hamilton, who's a fast guy that they're trying to get something out of baseball-wise, right? Trey Turner just happens to be lightning quick, and he's a great baseball player. If he had 70 speed, he'd be great. If he had 55 speed, he'd still be a really good player. And, you know, you hope Abrams grows into that. Just the ability to use that athleticism, to harness it, instead of just being a fast guy that you get to see, you know, hit a triple once a month or something like that, being able to use it each and every game and those kind of moments where you can see it. Even in an Ofer, you see a moment where you go, damn, that's pretty special. And again, he's 21 years old.
Yeah, and now he's back in the major leagues where he has played almost half of his professional games. I mean, it's pretty ridiculous when you look at the fact that C.J. Abrams' career, because largely of the 2020 pandemic when he missed what would have been an entire season in the minors developmentally, he has played now total 47 big league games and 114 minor league games. So you're talking about 143 plate appearances at the major league level compared to just, you know, 500 or so at the minor league level. I mean, basically over a fifth of his experience as a 21-year-old has been in the major leagues. You just don't see that. Not for a high school draft pick who was, by the way, drafted just 3 years ago now. It doesn't happen. I mean, this is so rare. So he's handled himself beautifully at every turn. You know, at each level, he's been the youngest guy, A-ball, AA, AAA, and now in the big leagues. I'd have to look, but I'm pretty sure if he's not the youngest player in the major leagues right now, he's one of the two or three youngest.
He's close.
Because Luis Garcia just is 23, and he's the eighth youngest player in the majors. Michael Harris had been the youngest player for a little while this year with the Atlanta Braves, and he's 22. And Abrams, again, is 21. So I think he may well be the youngest player in the majors right now. But I'm just pumped that Nats fans have something to watch, you know, someone to monitor, someone to track, because this is really a wasteland right now. It's difficult.
Yep.
People are paying a lot of money for tickets, and it's expensive to go have a beer and a hot dog. And, you know, you're turning on the TV. If you're just investing your time, let's say you're not investing any money, you're just watching them on your couch at home or listening to Charlie and Dave on the radio, it's become a grind. It's really, really hard to stay committed and invested. I know when I sit down, my wife goes, hey, let's watch our show. They're terrible. And I'm going, well, this is kind of what I want to do. It'd be nice. And she'll sit there and watch me. But it's not as easy a sell as it was in April. And they need some things, because they're not calling up Cavalli and they haven't made some of the decisions they could make with younger guys. So I think bringing up C.J. Abrams is a nice little gift and a reward for the fans as much as it is the right thing to do by the player.
You got to find your joy somewhere, right? And that's where my joy is right now, especially with Garcia on the shelf, you know, working the leg muscle back into shape. It's basically watching, you know, K-Bur Ruiz grind through at bats. It's watching Abrams now up here in the show. Josiah Gray with a big emotional fist pump last night after a strikeout, post-mound meeting with Davey Martinez. This is a team that hasn't won 40 games yet. Only team in the major leagues that hasn't crossed that pesky 40-win threshold at this point with not that many games left to play. So you're right. You're looking for a spark. You're looking for a reason to keep tuning in, keep going to the yard, and this is a nice little gift for folks. I don't know exactly what I expect from him down the stretch. I'm not really worried about numbers at all. I just want to see, I don't know how to describe this, but like I talk about this with draft picks in the NFL, and it, you know, it's not, it's a little bit less linear when it comes to baseball, right? Where these, where your guy get drafted and you won't see him for 2, 3, 4 years sometimes before he makes it to the show. But I want to see the thing. I want to see the reason that you were excited. I want to see moments. And I got one last night with that play, that highlight play, where even if he went 0-for last night, even with a strikeout, didn't get on base, I saw that elite thing. I saw that burst. I saw that quickness. I saw that athleticism. And I went, yep, I got what I came for last night. I sat through a, turned out to be a win, but I sat through another boring game for 115 loss team for this really cool little gift. I got it. I just want to see some of those sparks when I tune in on a nightly basis from Abrams.
Yeah, rare win when Nelson Cruz hit a homer, which is even more rare.
First time in 6 months, numbers approximate.
He broke a drought of well over 150 at-bats. I mean, it had been a couple months, essentially, since he had gone deep. So, yeah, they needed that. And he needed it probably more so than they did. I mean, he must have been going crazy trying to hit the ball over the fence, which he's done with ease throughout his entire career. Yeah, last thing on Abrams really quick. Like you, I don't think he's going to put on some show offensively the rest of this year. Number one, he hasn't done it yet. He was hitting in the 230s with San Diego, you know, a better lineup, a better team. And I just think it's so difficult as a young player in an awful lineup to come up and succeed and to put up numbers and to thrive. In fact, you know, I actually think it's much easier when you are a pitcher to come up and graduate and get to the big league level than it is when you're a hitter, because on a terrible team like this, not only is it harder to hit than it ever has been, and pitching right now is in vogue and hitting is not, but there's just not support. There's not other good players in the lineup. Like last night, he's supported by Lane Thomas and Ildemaro Vargas or whatever it was at the bottom of the order last night. Like, that's not a thing. That's not what should be happening. So he's not going to hit a whole lot. I mean, guys like Soto pay the price. Bryce Harper, when there's not enough support around them, you know, they are watered down. What do you think is going to happen for a rookie just trying to kind of stay afloat and learn how to swim when you throw him into the pool? I will say, though, that there's still going to be plenty of good. He's an athlete. When he hits the ball hard, he can turn singles into doubles and doubles into triples. He can run. And big picture, I think he's a top-of-the-order catalyst. I think he could be a spark plug who could steal bases and get on base and hit for some average. There's question about the power. I don't think he's ever going to be a 20-plus home run guy regularly. He might have a 20-homer season at some point in his career. And it depends on what baseballs we're deciding to use. You know, everyone was a 20-home run guy a couple years ago.
Sure, I was going to say,
if you remember,
yeah.
All of a sudden Trey Turner was a 30-homer guy. But like, people talk about him as maybe the upside of a Turner, and I don't see him having the power that Trey has. But I think it's possible with a compact, short line drive swing that he could end up being a better hitter in terms of like not as much swing and miss and strikeouts and more contact. So that would be nice, I would think. If he could steal 30 bags a year and hit you 290 or so and play really good defense at short, there's a profile there that could be really, really helpful. And look no further than ESPN.com. Kylie McDaniel, who we just had on the show last week, I think people really enjoyed. We heard a lot about that conversation on Twitter. You know, he was breaking down all the prospects that came back. He just put out his new top 50 of all the best young players in baseball, and he's got C.J. Abrams in the top 15. In fact, he had three Nats in the top 16. He had James Wood 13, Abrams 14, and Robert Hassel 16, all three of those guys who came over from the Padres in the Soto deal. Big, big deal for the Nats to start showing up on some of those lists. But the upside for Abrams is huge. I don't think it's going to happen right away. It might take a year or two because, again, he's 21 years old. But that's eventually, right, they got a really solid major leaguer, I think, in this trade.
Well, a number of times, I mean, guys that are superstars, the first time they come up, they struggle. It looked like whether it was the game was too fast or they weren't quite ready or whatever. Nobody should be taking anything out of results here in the short term for Abrams. And you only bring a guy up like this if you know he can handle it, if you know he can handle getting beat down a little bit, right, where you're going to fail some here at this level. Mike Trout did when he first came up. Trey Turner's first stint, he wasn't particularly good when he first got here. Then the second time, he went a million for a million, and then they benched him and sent him back down, which infuriated me, but whatever. But for Abrams, like, you just want the little carrots, the little light at the end of the tunnel type pieces to show you the talent of a guy that's going to put it all together. And I'm with you. He profiles to be a really, really exciting player.
7.02 ERA for Patrick Corbin this year. They skipped his start against the Padres. Pat. He is back on the hill tonight Last seven starts, his ERA is 9.7.
Up 52
hits in 28 innings. I mean, that's
does so many.
That's insane. So many hits. 52 hits in 28 innings. It's impossible. Like I've never seen anything like that. Like, he's not gotten out of the first in two of his last three starts.
Like, I legit think that if you went out there onto the mound and threw, I think that's the number of hits you'd give up over 28 innings.
Maybe, just because I would walk so many guys, and I wouldn't throw the ball to the home plate a lot.
That's insane.
Chris is in Maryland. Chris, we only got about 30 seconds for you. Be quick, but go ahead.
Okay, hey, yeah, Grant, you did great. Hey, you told me about the spin rate on Corbin. Maybe it was down, and maybe in his pitch is a slider. Anyway, positivity, it's nice after 10 years of contention, though. It's nice to just chill, watch some rookies, and let's spoil the other teams in contention. And looking forward to Abrams and all of them. We'll be back in it next year.
Appreciate you, buddy. Thank you.
Thank you, dude.
He went even quicker than he needed to. He was like rapid fire there. I didn't mean to rush you that much, but thank you for the call.
Chris.
I will say that it is fun, I think, to dig into the minor leagues. Darius and I were talking about this on Bustin' Loose Baseball, which is dropping tonight. Like, it is kind of fun to track these box scores and look up all these minor leaguers and how they're faring. It would be more fun if they were trying to win the division. I think we need to remember that.
If we're comparing, yeah.
But look, this is what it is. Tonight, C.J. Abrams is in the lineup again. He's batting seventh. He's playing shortstop. So if you're going out to Nats Park, you get to see the great Joey Meneses, who's hitting .385, bat second. Luke Voit is in the lineup hitting third. And C.J. Abrams, bat seventh and plays shortstop. Double play is next. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. We're Grant and Danny.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Brought to you by GovSmart, intelligent IT solutions for government. Visit GovSmart.com. Danny, I started the show talking about WWE Raw, and I told you I had one more story to tell you.
Yes, I've been looking forward to this for about an hour and 47 minutes.
Okay, good. So I'm pumped to tell you. By the way, we just went through a couple more of my clips of people coming down to the ring, and we found one that everyone agreed is particularly preposterous, okay? So there were these guys named, what was their name, Darius? I keep wanting to call them the Primetime Players.
The Street Profits.
Primetime Players is another group of dudes.
Just not what you said at all, yeah.
But there's two different groups of guys. But the Street Profits, come out, and I have literally never heard of the Street Profits in my life, okay? I cannot explain this. You're going to Joan so hard. This was all 100% genuine. I was not doing bits. I didn't think about it like, oh, we'll play this on the air tomorrow. I was just in the moment reacting with a bunch of people around me who loved this, okay? I said, oh, bleep, it's the Street Profits. Out loud at the top of my lungs. So this was, again, I've never heard of these people. I just see the sign, like the big, you know, the big board say Street Profits. And this was at the very beginning of the show, like first handful of minutes. And so I was just over the top excited. And so my response for some reason was, oh, it's the Street Profits. Listen to this.
Oh, it's the Street Profits.
All day, baby?
Grant.
I don't know what to say. I'm so embarrassed. So, but here's the thing.
I wish I was there. I wish I was there because I'd reach for that big bell right next to you and I'd ring it. I'd ring it so many times. All day? That's the bell of shame. What?
So, remember one thing, though. If I was sitting in section 230 and I was doing this, I think it would be terrible. I'm literally hanging over the barricade trying to high-five them. So everything that I'm screaming is while they're within 5-10 feet of me while I'm trying to get them to acknowledge me and high-five me. So all of this stuff you're hearing is me, like they're hearing me and most of the time making eye contact with me, deciding if they're going to come over and dap me up on their way down to the ring. So I'm just trying to basically get them to acknowledge me.
Okay. All right. That's actually a little bit more defensible. But I will say the, oh, bleep, it's the Street Profits
to counter you. Yes.
That's tough, man. Because, again,
also, they were 200 feet away. They were just coming out. Yeah. Like, that was not trying to win them over.
But you also don't know who they are.
Exactly.
You know, like, it's not if it's like, oh, bleep, it's this thing that I'm aware of that
exactly.
I know what their MO is or what they are probably about to do. These people could be jugglers. They could be walking a tightrope or circus performers. You don't know what they look like.
So,
you don't know anything about them.
So here's the worst part, too. So Ryan asked, and this, in hindsight, is actually a great question, having heard all these clips now. Ryan goes, so you were drinking or you're sober? I'm 100% sober.
Oh.
I think a lot of people are listening to this. They're like, oh, Grant was banged up at this. No, I didn't
have. Yeah, he's having a grand old time.
I didn't have a sip of alcohol at this event. Not a sip. This was just me being 8 or 9 or 10. I mean, I have no other explanation for myself. All right, so here's my story real quick. So it's the end of the night. We catch up with one of the broadcasters from WWE. We talked to him for a few minutes. It was cool. And then me and Russell and his guy Lenny the Legend, we're leaving, okay? So we go to the elevator, like in a backstage kind of way. We ride the elevator down with Dolph Ziggler, who just closed the night out, oh, by the way, fighting Austin Theory. Dolph Ziggler's a big silly, been around forever. Went to Kent State, so we're chopping it up with our pal Dolph. He gets off at P1, we got to go down to P2. I'm like thinking about asking him for a picture, hug, whatever, you know. We don't do any of it. But anyway, so he gets off the elevator. So we're coming out of the arena, out of the you've been there before. This is the parking garage underneath of Gallery Place, or underneath of Capital One Arena, right? So we're coming up, and clearly all the fans had just, like, run over to the car in front of us trying to, like, get a picture and an autograph. We're like, oh, that must be somebody. So we pull up next to the car at the light, and Lenny the Legend notices that it's Drew McIntyre. Do you know who Drew McIntyre is?
Did he used to write for Deadspin?
No, I think that's another guy.
Okay.
Maybe his name's that, too. I don't know. But no,
I have no file at all.
This particular Drew McIntyre is, like, one of the biggest stars, had the best 10 minutes of the night, promo cutting, match with Kevin Owens, the whole deal. So he knows him personally. So he starts trying to call him on his cell phone, and he can't find his name anywhere. He's like, where is his name? Where is his name? It's not in here. I'm like, well, maybe you put his name in there as his non-wrestling name, like his real name. And Lenny the Legend goes, oh, that's right. And his name's like Andrew Gallimore, or I don't know, something like that. So he finally finds, like, he's telling his car, call Andrew Gallimore. So finally, we call this guy. We've pulled up to him next to him and tried to get his attention. by we, Lenny the Legend, like at three Lenny lights Jones, now, yeah, going down New York. So we're just following this guy at 11:30 at night, down 6th Street, away from the arena, from like where he just performed. I mean, violating every safety. You know, he's probably like, oh my God, who's in this SUV? What are they trying to do to me? So finally, he calls him, and he ignores the call, or at least he doesn't answer it or whatever. And so Lenny's like, no. This is my guy. Like, I know this dude. He's my boy. There's no way I'm going to put up with this. So we follow him again. We're like following him around D.C. now, and we finally pull up next to him, and Lenny gets close enough, window to window, and puts down his window and kind of leans out like, hey. And so he looks over, and he puts his window down. He's like, hey, man, Lenny Legend. Well, he says his name. You know, he's not Lenny Legend to everyone. But he goes, he's like from, I don't know, Ireland or Britain. He's like, what's going on, man? I'm talking to the missus. Sorry about that. I had to ignore the call. Missus called me after the match. And he's like, oh. So the whole point was Lenny was like kind of salty. He didn't answer him. He's just talking to his wife after he got out of work. You know what I mean? It's 11:30 at night.
Oh, my God.
He's like, what are you doing, man? Great match. And he's like, thanks, man. He's like, you didn't tell me you were coming to town. He's like, yeah, I found out last minute I was performing tonight. Because normally he's on SmackDown. So this is all at 11:30. They start driving one way. We're driving another way. We chased him down through D.C. for like several blocks.
When did the wave of embarrassment hit?
Guy,
did the shame come?
I'm telling you.
When did everyone feel terrible about themselves?
I was in the back seat just like head down like, oh, my God. What if he gets out and fights? We're just following this person down through the city. Like, what is going on here? So mortified.
Well, of course. But can you imagine if, like, I don't know, I can't imagine a scenario, but let's say it's you and me. If, like, you see me from afar and call me and I don't answer the call, then going, I know what I should do. I'll chase him down.
It was a 10, though. Like, just for
story's
sake.
Don't you just take the L and go, oh, they poker faced me.
I would have.
Like, yeah, oh, well.
I think I would have. I'd have been
why
like,
don't you answer my call, dude, the next time?
I'll catch up with him next time, or I'll drop him a text down the road. But yes, it was a thing, man. It was like, nope, we're going to see him right now. And so we caught up with him.
That is tough.
It was incredible. The whole night was great. But anyway, oh bleep, it's the Street Profits.
It's the Street Profits. You know what they do. No, I don't, but here they come anyway.
Beltway Blitz, including a breakdown on Commander's Camp. It'll be brought to you by Paul Henry's Windows. PaulHenrysWindows.com, your clear home improvement choice. We're Grant and Danny. You are listening to The Fan.
Oh, it's the Street Profits!
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.